For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks to you, remembering you in my prayers, that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the work of his great might, that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he will put all things under his feet and gave him a head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all.
In the name of Jesus, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our meditation this morning is based on our epistle reading, where Paul, in short, says an amazing thing that is so hard to just keep in our minds and hearts, because our unbelief doesn't want us to take this seriously. He put all things under his feet and gave him his head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What a beautiful proclamation of the care that Christ our King has in store for us as people living in the light of his empty cross and empty grave, his Easter people. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. The ascension of our Lord took place 40 days after he made himself look alive to his disciples, rising from the grave on Easter. It's just the post-Easter accounts of Jesus just going about doing various things, taking a ragtag group of fearful followers, turning them into full of faith witnesses. It's just beautiful to see what he does. I mean, even in Luke, he says, is it Luke? I can't remember. Do you have something to eat? He's at the shore of Galilee. So here's our resurrected Savior eating fish. That's awesome. And showing himself alive. And then before their eyes, he ascends into heaven. And they rejoice. They're not sad. He goes to the right hand of power. And then all things are placed underneath his feet for the sake of the church. That's you. That's me. We have a king unlike any other whose service and leadership and care have no parallel. Alleluia, Christ is risen and reigning. He is risen and reigning indeed. And that's what makes Paul so excited. I mean, the Apostle Paul. I mean, you know, his theology is exciting. He loves to talk about Jesus in all kinds of details. And what's fascinating in his epistle to the church in Ephesus is, I mean, no doubt you can tell that Paul is really excited. He's really excited for the Ephesians because they've been rescued. He's excited about God. He has all this theology in chapter 1. He explains in rich language what it means to be rescued. And then he's just thankful for the people in Ephesus. Why is he so enthused, do you suppose? Well, think about what they've been rescued from. I mean, this is not dramatic, but think about what Jesus has done, swooping in and rescuing us from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Think about what Jesus has done in rescuing us from wickedness and evil. Think about what it means to be rescued from the wrath of God, no longer subjects to God's righteous and justified anger. Think about it. Now that's something to be excited about. It's as if wherever Paul hears about a church being established by the gospel, he's excited. I mean, to the church in Colossae, he'd never been there. It wasn't a part of his mission work. And he's just excited that there are people in Colossae that have been brought to a saving relationship with Jesus, who know what it means to be loved and forgiven, who understands what it means to be the objects of God's mercy, citizens of Christ's kingdom, and a part of his care, so that they can also be busy about living in his kingdom and advancing his kingdom. I mean, it's really exciting to think, first of all, that people are safe, they're rescued now, but then they're also a part of the king's care and the advancement of his kingdom. And it's not about them anymore, it's about you. It's about me. We're now the ones that Paul in heaven is excited about, and we're the ones that are growing up in God's will and ways. It's interesting. Check this out. Isn't God's creative order amazing? How things grow? I mean, we're living right now at a time where, I mean, I'm kind of bummed that my irises are all gone and we've finally had to clip them off. But there's other things that are starting to bloom, looking pretty cool. And I mean, God's creative order is really something, but you know what? That's nothing compared to you. You're growing. And I know that it's hard to see how you are growing in the Lord. But part of God's will for your life and my life is to grow in all kinds of spiritual ways. And just like it can be a challenge to see how we are growing physically, it's hard to see how we're growing spiritually. It was kind of interesting. I made a visit. I'm starting to get out and make visits again. And it was fascinating. I visited one of our families, and one of the members opened up the door, and I thought, my goodness, you've grown like 8 inches. And I had to look at my schedule, see the last time I had visited, and it had only been like 2 months. And I thought, my goodness, this is just amazing. How you know, we see differences in physical life and growth, and yet we're also still growing. And it could be that what you're going through right now with this coronavirus pandemic is you're experiencing some brutal spiritual growth, like growing pains in a teenager. It's not easy to grow in the Lord. In fact, there are things that can keep us from wanting to grow up in the Lord, and yet that's God's will. And that's also part of why Paul's so excited. He actually tells the Ephesians that he's praying for them. Not only praying for them, but he's explaining what he's praying for them about. Check it out. He says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease giving thanks for you." I mean, he's thanking God for them. "Remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of..." It's interesting how Paul, you know, he just talks about the doctrine of justification at the beginning of chapter 1. And then it's amazing how he just kind of folds into how they're justified by what Christ has done, this predestination language. And then he talks about, "I thank God for you and I'm praying for you." And then he'll start talking about Jesus again. I mean, Paul is really something. Talk about an exciting guy. And so he now he's, you know, "I'm thankful for you." And then he goes on, I remember you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward you and all who believe, toward us and all who believe. And then he explains how Jesus was resurrected from the grave by that power. I mean, it's just fascinating, interesting the way Paul does it. But I don't know, what do you think if someone says, "I'm praying that you'll grow up in the Lord"? Well, that kind of stings a little bit. But Paul is explicitly stating here that there is a spiritual growth and that you and I are in the process of growing in the Lord. And one of the most important things in our life in God's kingdom underneath the care of our Savior Jesus is to grow and to pray for one another. I mean, why is Paul praying that they grow in the Lord? Because he's growing in the Lord. Why does he see the importance of that for their lives? Because he knows the importance of it in his own life. Because he was rescued too. He knew at one time what it meant to be just the subject of God's wrath outside of faith in Christ. And so he knew the importance. Ever since, so he says, I remember praying for you that the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation that you may know him better. All of us have much to learn about what it means in God's kingdom and how God's kingdom applies in our home, how God's kingdom applies in marriage and parenting and grandparenting, how working in God's kingdom, being part of his plan in advancing his kingdom is supposed to work out where we work or as a congregation. To be sure, things are changing. I heard at the last pastor's conference that it could be as many as 1,000 LCMS churches will end up having to close because of the pandemic. Because they weren't going too well before, and this will be the thing that pushes everyone over the edge. Certainly, it's going to be a challenging time, but as God's kingdom people, his Easter people, as citizens of a kingdom that has no end, that has, I'm going to say it, it's hard for me to say it because there's a part of me that doesn't want to believe it too, have all the assets we need at our disposal. Did I say that? Have all the assets they need at their disposal. We should not give up and give in and throw in the towel, but say, Lord, how do you want us to advance your kingdom in North Texas? But of course it means that we need the eyes of our hearts. Did you know your heart had eyes? We call it in our mind's eye. That we can actually see more. We don't see as much as we can. There's more to see. In terms of three things. Paul says three things. The hope of your calling. The hope of your calling. That you may see that you've been called by God to be a part of his kingdom. I wouldn't choose me. There are times I just give up on me. How about you? I mean, giving up on me, but also giving up on you. I mean, you know, it's amazing. It is a challenge. You know, being in God's kingdom doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. I mean, Peter says, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will happen to the sinner and the unbelieving? You know, so it's not always easy for us. For some people, going through the coronavirus has tested their faith to the core. That's the way it is. And it'll happen more than just once in a believer's life. And yet, we have a calling that is from God. And it can reboot our hope time and again. That you may know, this is the first thing Paul says, that you may know the hope of your calling. Paul's praying that the Ephesians will have that. We can pray that each other have that. The hope of our calling. So that we can continue to go on knowing that the one who has called us will not toss us back. The inheritance of Jesus among the saints. This second thing that Paul is praying that they may grow up in and learn more about is fascinating. We're the Lord's inheritance? You are the Lord's inheritance? I mean, I hardly understand what that means. And yet that involves all of my life. That involves all of your life. Figure that one out. How is all of your life our Savior's inheritance? Lord, give me the eyes to see what that means. So he says, the hope of your calling, the inheritance of Jesus among the saints. And get this one. This is interesting. The exceedingly great power that works toward you and all believers. There is a power at work toward you and all believers. We know it's God, the Holy Spirit, who rose Jesus from the dead, because then he goes into the doctrine of the resurrection right after he tells them what he's praying for them about. But the same power that rose him from the grave is working toward you and me. Are we tempted to resist? Yes. Are we tempted to want to be our own king and live in our own kingdom? Certainly. But it's this power that keeps working toward us, always coming to our care. Last Sunday, we heard him called the Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the one who likes to talk with us when no one else can, and doesn't give up on directing us and leading us. How do we say it in our Lutheran small catechism? I cannot by my own reason or strength believe as Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. Enlighten me with his gifts. That's what he's doing in your life and mine. He keeps caring for us in God's kingdom, under Christ, our King's care. And so Paul prayed that this would happen to them. And, you know, we've been praying that this happens with us, those who have been praying through our prayer phone directory, our prayer book, that we can grow in these ways to advance God's kingdom so that we can be about what he has in store for us. And keep in mind, we have a king like no other. What Jesus has done for us. Think about it. No other king would lay down his life to rescue his subjects. He would make them all die. But Jesus did this once for all that we would be a part of his family, his kingdom. Underneath his forgiving love and care. Not only that, but that he would lead us through all the paths of righteousness, through the valley of the shadow of death, for his name's sake, that he would care for us, and that he would also provide us with what we need. And here, perhaps, is where you struggle, as I do. I mean, gosh, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I still want to give up on Jesus. I still think somehow I've got to figure things out. I don't take vacations doing that like I used to, but I still take day trips. Because somehow there's something inside of me and inside of you that wants to wonder if really he'll be able to provide. I've been a pastor now for 28 years, and I can't tell you how many times I've seen churches struggle, pastors struggle. Before I was a pastor, or I saw a church struggle. Why do I get to be so pathetic as a pastor? Why does St. Paul Lutheran Church become so pathetic as a church when you consider what we really have in what God has promised and given us through his Son? And I'm going to read it again to you, and I'll tell you the reason why. And so Paul talks about what he's praying for the Ephesians about, and then he says this. And then he talks about this, you know, this power that was at work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age to come, but not only in this age, but also in the age to come. So Jesus is seating over all things. He put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. He put all things under his feet. Everything that you can think of has been placed under Christ's feet for the disposal of his purposes for the church. You know, for you and for me, for us, this king, unlike any other, can really see to all our needs. So why do we droop? Why do we want to give up? Why do we want to feel like we're losing? It's our unbelief. So even there, the good news is the Lord can help us overcome our unbelief. In fact, that's part of the reason why we are growing in the Lord, so that we can have a humble boldness, so that we can say to the Lord, Lord, I'm struggling with this, but I know you can help me. I give to you my family. I know you can heal them. Lord, we're not sure what 2020 is going to hold for us, but we're going to take it in your name, Lord Jesus, and we're going to move through it victorious because of what you've done for us. And that's what it means to live under a kingdom, having a king unlike any other, who has all things to his disposal for the sake of his body, you, for the sake of his body, me. And for the sake of his body, St. Paul Lutheran Church, His church in North Texas that's made up of all who believe, who have a power working toward them to guide them always in the ways of God's Easter people who have a king. So rejoice and pray. Rejoice for all that have been rescued from the wrath of God and brought into safety under the king's care. And pray for one another that we can all continue to grow, having the eyes of our heart enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling, the inheritance of Jesus among the saints, and the exceedingly great power that works toward you, toward me, toward all who believe. Rejoice in the one who is our King, who will be back one day to take us to life in its fullness, whatever that may be. In the name of Jesus. Alleluia. Christ is risen and reigning. He is risen and reigning indeed. Alleluia.